ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ. ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्. Last time we saw the story of Prahlad and the order of his Nauvidha Bhakti. Just a quick recap. Shravanam, everything begins with Shravanam. Shravanam is listening. So even in our normal day-to-day life, you know, we hear somewhere there is a sale, somewhere there is something. Everything begins with hearing, and hearing begins with in satsang or from a friend or whatever. So once we hear, and this hearing is hearing of the glories of the Lord, and because there is nothing but good and auspicious in the Lord, then we want to talk about it. In our normal life, you know, if I come to know there is a sale, good sale going on somewhere, I want to tell my friend, you know what, there is a sale, why don't you go? That's very normal. Then if I go travel somewhere, I see something nice, you know, pyramids, whatever, Niagara Falls, Iguazu, whatever, I come back, I tell everybody, you know what, this is very nice. So same way, that's why when you hear the glories of the Lord, you are compelled to talk about them. And that's why kirtanam, speech. So first it's ears, then it's speech. So ears representing the sense organs and speech representing the organs of action. And then smaranam in the mind. So when it is something nice, you always like to remember it, right? Not that you even like, you just remember it. Oh, that was so nice when I visited that. That was so nice. So about the Lord also, when you hear and you talk, obviously it is going to be in your memory, in your mind. And that's why this thing. And then when you are constantly remembering the Lord and you know his glories, you want to do Pada Sevana. That means you want to worship that Lord. Because it is only one entity. You know, in the world, you might hear good things about somebody. Some few days later, you will hear bad things. Things change in this finite world. Whatever good, you might hear something good about a product. Then next time they'll say, no, 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 that product is not good. And it changes. But with the Lord, it will never change. You'll hear good and there's no way that you're going to hear bad. If you hear something bad, then it's coming like from somebody like Hiranyakashipu. So that's not correct. So that's why then with your whole body, then worship is done with the entire body. So the body is included, speech is included, and mind is included. Because when you're doing the puja and the worship, then you're chanting some mantras. And then of course your mind has to be there in your speech as well as in your body. Then archanam. So worshipping feet and then worshipping him by puja. Same thing. It includes, na, first we will offer asana and then we'll wash his feet and offer food, etc., etc., etc. And then vandanam. So when the vandanam is to prostrate, and prostration is, there is a physical prostration that we do, and men sort of do sashtang namaskar, means fall flat. Women don't. Women should not be doing sashtang namaskar. But it is actually a fall of the ego. Physically, yes, physically you will touch the feet. But what it is actual is the surrender of the ego. Because that is the only thing which is standing between us and the Lord or our guru even. You know, when we touch his feet, that is an expression of surrender of ego. It's the physical expression. So you can do, you know, physically, but in your mind, you should know that that is what it is. Dasyam, because an attitude of service. So even in bhakti, when this dasya bhav is there, automatic transformation of karma into karma yoga. That's why bhakti is required in both. Na? So this, when you say that you're a servant of the Lord, one thing is that servant takes care of the ego. You're a servant, he's the master. You don't bring your own ego in there. And then this, all the actions that are done with an attitude of service to the Lord or to other people, looking at them as the Ishta Devata. So it becomes karma yoga, this thing. Sakhyam. So what it is I will have, the devotee will have a bhava of servitude, of servant, but the Lord will always look upon the devotee as a friend. The Lord doesn't say, actually in Bhagavad Gita, like I told you, Lord himself is saying, I am a servant of my devotees. He actually calls himself the servant. But when the devotee does things for the Lord sincerely, then the Lord starts considering him as a friend. So from the Lord's side, it is friendship. From our side, it is dasyam, service. And then Atmanivedanam, Atma, you know, means the entire self, it's not just the ego, means your will, your power. So that's why devotee, you know, he says, whatever you want to do, you do with me. Thine will be done. That is this Atman. Finally, what comes is, because now the ego is surrendered, the attitude of service is brought in. Finally, your whole body, mind, intellect, complex is just, you are just in the hands of the Lord. The devotee thinks like that. It's like the cat carrying the kitten in her mouth. The mother cat, the kitten does not worry. A kitten does not have to worry also. It's the entire responsibility of the mother cat to carry that kitten to safety or wherever. That way, the devotee says, I am in your lap. Now you do whatever that you have to do and I shall accept. That's Atmanivedanam, full surrender, complete surrender. Nothing. It is not my will at all. Whatever is happening is because of your will. Whatever will happen is because of your will. Whatever has happened in the past is also your will. I know that. And I accept. Okay. There is a story of a great saint, Gora Kumbhar, his name was. He's a Marathi saint. And Kumbhar means, Kumbhar is the one potter, clay pots, right? So he was a pot. So they have to pound the mud, you know, like pound it. So once when he was pounding, he's a devotee of Vittal. All the Marathi saints are devotees of Vittal Bhagwan. Vittal Bhagwan, I told you, is avatar of Vishnu Bhagwan. Pandharpur is the, you know, Tirtha Kshetra. Anyway, so he was completely lost in thoughts of Vittal and he was pounding the dirt. His own child, a baby, crawled into that dirt and he pounded his own baby. Because he was lost in Vittal, right? So when he found out, he said, okay, Lord, this is your will. You gave me the child and now you've taken it away. That is Atmanivedanam. There is absolutely no complaint, no guilt, because he was lost in his thoughts of Vittal Bhagwan, not of the world. We make mistakes because we are lost in the, you know, world and external things. Then there is guilt. But this is what Atmanivedanam is. And then 23, Guruji just said, I told you, it is Prahlad's story is from the Bhagavad Puran. Now we go on to 24. Sadhaneshu cha sarveshu satsang satsanga sadhanam param Valmiki rudruva prahladau satsangat prapnuvan param. Satsanga, association with noble souls, is the best among all the means of devotion. It is through satsang that Valmiki, Dhruva and Prahlad attained oneness with the Supreme. So satsang, sangha, association, sat, good, association with good people. We will also include association with good books, good series. You know, like now YouTube, when we are watching Guruji, or all that falls under satsang. Even this is satsang. We are like-minded people and we are discussing the scriptures. So this also is a satsang. So this satsang is the best means, because in satsang you get to hear. And Guruji has given these three examples. I'll quickly tell you, if I start on stories of satsang, I could go on for another 2 weeks. So I'm going to tell you one story, but in this, I'm going to quickly tell you Valmiki. I hope all of you know the story of Valmiki. He was a dacoit, a thief, and then he used to kill and loot people in the forest, and that's how he was making his living. One day, Narad Bhagwan comes, and Narad Bhagwan says, "Who are you doing this for? Who is going to share in your sins?" He says, "Oh, no, I'm doing this for my whole family, and my wife and children will also partake of my sins." So Narad Bhagwan says, "You go and you ask them whether they will take part in your sins. They are enjoying all the wealth that you are, you know, making by illegal means or whatever. And you go ask them." So he said, "What if you run away?" He says, "No, you tie me to a tree and then you go. So there's no thing, no way that I will move anywhere." When he goes back and asks his wife, she says, No. "That sin part, you are alone. I am not in your sin. You can give me the wealth and I will enjoy, and I will put all the ornaments and clothes and everything, food, but no sin." Then he realizes that what Narad Bhagwan, so he comes back. Then Narad Bhagwan tells him to do job. He couldn't even say Rama. So he said, "Okay, you can say Mara." Mara in Marathi means die. Die. That you, he said, "You know that, na? Dying, you know very well, because you have been killing people for so many. So you say Mara, you don't even say Ram." So he said Mara, he started with Mara, and became Rama, and then he became Valmiki, and then Valmiki. Valmiki is an anthill. So it is said that when he went into meditation, he went so deep into meditation that the ants made a whole hill around him, and he didn't even know he was in meditation. That's why he got the name Valmiki. His original name was Ratnakar is one name that I have heard, and Valya Koli, they used to say in Marathi. When we heard the story, it was Valya or Ratnakar. Okay, so that's what satsang. Then with Dhruva also, Dhruva was a small boy, if you know the story of Dhruva. Dhruva was the son of the unfavorite queen. His father had two queens. One was favorite, one was not so very favorite. And Dhruva was the son of the not favorite queen. And one day when he went and sat on his father's lap, the favorite queen came and she pulled him off of his father's lap and said, no, this is meant for my son, not you." So then Dhruva came back to his own mother crying, and he said, "I want a place where nobody will take me from that place." She says, "Only Narayan Bhagwan can give you that place." So that 8-year-old boy left home and started walking. And then it is said that Vishnu Bhagwan woke up in his milky ocean and he said, "Oh my God, my devotee, my little devotee is, you know, going and he wants to meditate on me, and he doesn't even know how to do it." Narad Bhagwan, you know, Narad is the, he's got this intergalactic visa, so he can go in any world, any time, etc. He's the greatest devotee of Bhagwan Vishnu. So Narad, what happened, Bhagwan? "My devotee is left home and he doesn't know how to even pray to me. Please go and guide him." Narad Bhagwan goes, and that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya is the mantra given by Narad Bhagwan to Dhruva. He says, "You say," first he tells him, "Go home. Why do you want to?" He says, "No, I definitely am going to do it." And with Dhruva, it is in Bhagavat, there is a thing. He was doing meditation. Then apparently he stopped eating. Means he was eating only leaves and fruits. And then he stopped eating completely. Then he stood on one leg. And then finally he held his breath. He just held. And when he held his breath, the devatas couldn't breathe, because the whole vayu he held. He breathed in and he wouldn't let it out. So the devatas, they got frightened and they went to Vishnu. They said, "No, please, Bhagwan, you better give him darshan, because now we can't breathe because he's holding his breath." And that's when Vishnu Bhagwan comes and tells him to ask the boon. And he says, "I want this." So he gets this star. But years later, apparently it is said that Narad Bhagwan was visiting him later on, in later years. And he finds Dhruva crying. You know, this old Dhruva, he's crying. He's become old now after so many years. He's sitting on his star and he's crying. So Narad says, "Arey, why are you crying?" He says, "Arey, I was stupid. I should have asked for liberation. I asked for this star. I got the star. Vishnu Bhagwan was standing in front of me. I should have asked. Now I'm crying." Of course, he also was liberated. So that is his story with satsang. And Prahlad satsang was in the womb. I told you Prahlad's story. He was in his mother's womb and Narad Bhagwan took him to his ashram and he was telling all these stories to the mother. But of course, the fetus hears. We have seen that in the case of Abhimanyu as well, where Bhagwan Krishna was telling Subhadra, you know, all this Chakravyuh Rachana, right? So then halfway through he realizes that she's fallen asleep and he stops. So that's why Abhimanyu knew how to go in, but he couldn't come out. He knew only half. So we know that. So with this, since there is Narad Bhagwan in all three stories, I will tell you a story of Narad Bhagwan. One day Narad Bhagwan went to Vishnu and asked him, he says, you know, they say this satsang, important. What is so important about satsang? I want to know. So Vishnu Bhagwan says, you know what? There is a little bird just born in one village. You go ask that baby bird. That baby bird will tell you. Okay. So he goes, he asks the baby bird, what is the importance of satsang? Cut karke the baby dies. The bird dies. Hi, Bhagwan. Okay. He thought, okay, whatever. So no answer and the bird dies. So he comes back to Vishnu Bhagwan. He says, you know what? I asked that bird, but there was no answer. Before answering, only that bird died. Okay, no problem. There is a little calf that is born in that other village. You go ask that calf. Okay, fine. Goes to the calf. He asks the calf, oh, calf, what is the importance of what satsang? Calf dies. Immediately, now he gets, oh my God, what is this? So he goes back to Vishnu Bhagwan because he has still not gotten the answer. So he says, I asked this calf, you know, and the calf died on me. Again, same thing. Now what? I have no answer still. He says, don't worry. The king of that kingdom now has got a little baby prince. You go ask that prince. He says, are you crazy? That if that baby dies, that king will kill me. Next is me. I'm in line. Already two, you know, jivas have died. Bird died, calf died. Now the prince might die. Bhagwan says, don't worry. Don't worry at all. I'm telling you, you go, you will get your answer. So he goes because he wants the answer. He wants to know what is the importance of satsang. So he goes to the baby, the prince, and he asks the baby, what is the importance of satsang? And the baby says, have you not recognized me yet? He says, no, I haven't recognized you. He says, you know, that bird that died in front of you, that was me. Just by your mere presence, I got a calf body. I came out of that body. A bird, small bird, in this thing. From there, I graduated to calf. And when you came again in my life, immediately I got released and now I'm the prince of this kingdom. That is the importance of satsang. So that is how satsang is described. So that is one story. If you have time, I'll tell you more, but let's move. Okay. So that is the importance of satsang. Satsang sarvada karyaha sarva vignaha rohisaha ahanta mamata vignaha tathaiva cha sukhaspraha. One should always seek satsang because it removes all obstacles, that is I-ness, minus, and the craving for worldly pleasures. I-ness, minus is ego. I plus I want, that is the formula that Gurudev had given us. I plus I want equals attachment, and attachment comes from ego. So what satsang does, and that's why Gurudev said attach and detach. So what satsang does is it attaches you to the higher. And because it attaches you to the higher, you let go of the lower. It becomes easy. You know, when you're climbing a ladder, you will put your foot up and then the next foot, and then you let go of this thing. So as you climb higher, or a monkey, they give the example of a monkey. A monkey apparently holds on to the other branch, the next branch, before letting go of this branch. So in satsang, what happens is we get to hold on to something higher. We hear inspiring stories. I'll tell you another story if I'm like so totally inspired to tell about satsang. But anyway, so we attach to the guru, you know. Sometimes it's a guru. See, guru, what guru does, you know, guru allows you to be attached to him. Allows. And when he realizes, when he comes to know that his disciple or devotee has reached a certain maturity of mind, he just drops you. He drops. Because guru, it appears like the guru sort of loves you very much and all. He does. But he's not attached to you. It appears like he's attached to you. But he is always detached. He is never attached to anybody, a spiritual guru. So he allows, the reason he allows, because it's better to be attached to a spiritual guru than to your home and clothes and objects and movies and all the worldly things. So what he does is he attaches you, he pulls you back from there, and then he also releases you. But by that time, the maturity of the disciple or the devotee is so much that the devotee doesn't go back into the world. It's like the bird, the mother bird, what she does, it seems, when she knows that the baby bird is capable of flying, she pushes it off the cliff. She knows this baby is going to fly now. She has strength in the wings. When she is confident, and that's what the spiritual guru does. He will hold you, and he'll release you one day. But when he releases, know that you are not going to fall down again, because he knows what you are capable of. So that is what happens in satsang. And sukhaspara, craving for worldly pleasures, because when you get attached to this spiritual knowledge and when you actually start following the whatever is being said, you get glimpses of that bliss, which is the ultimate goal. And there is nothing in this world that will give you even close to that bliss. In Manisha Panchakam, Bhagwan Shankaracharya says that the devatas, they are longing, lesha lesha. The word used is lesha lesha. Lesha lesha means a fraction of a fraction. So he says that the devatas, they are even dying for like a fraction of that bliss. You know, just because even that fraction of a fraction is so great. So once you taste that bliss, all these worldly, you know, it's like you take a tea which is full of sugar, like sweet tea, then the other sweet doesn't taste as sweet. Or the other way, you eat something sweet, mithai, then you take your tea which has mixed with sugar, but the tea doesn't taste as sweet. That is what happens. You get a glimpse of that bliss, which is much higher than whatever bliss that these worldly objects can give you. And so already the longing for the pleasure of worldly objects starts reducing. That's what happens. Okay. So that's why he says that we should always do satsang. And like I told you, satsang means not that every time we get a Mahatma, but reading books, listening to tapes, listening to videos, audios, all that falls under satsang. Okay. Sarve vighna nivaryante nama sankirtanena vai rama nama mahat punyam smaraniyam kshane kshane. All obstacles are certainly overcome by singing the name of the Lord. The name of Rama, which is great and holy, should be remembered at every moment. I've already told you that at that point, Swami Tejomayanji was a Rama Bhakta. So he's used the word Rama, but please substitute it with any Ishtadevata that you are fond of. Krishna, Devi, whoever, Vishnu, Shiva, Hanuman, you name it. You know, so don't, it is not just Ram Naam, it's any Naam. It's any Bhagwan's name. It's Mahat Punyam. And in Bhagavad Puran, it is said that in Kali Yuga, which we are in now, it is a age of fast food and fast internet and fast this and fast cars and fast everything. So it is said that the greatest advantage of Kali Yuga is just by Nama Japa, you can get liberation. It made it easy because, you know, in that first Yuga, people used to only meditate. Their minds were so pure that they were just, everybody was only meditating. Then the yajnas came. So the worship came, gross. And then the devatas came, then the idols came. And now what is happening is because the impurities in the mind have become so much more, we don't know how to do a yajna, a fire ritual. We don't know. Meditation, to forget it. The mind is so distracted, so disturbed. So meditation, forget it. And even they, we don't have time to go to the temple and do puja, and we don't have time. So Bhagavad says, you just take the name of the Lord. That is the power of the name. In Tulsi Ramayan, Tulsi Dasji has said that question is Rama great or Rama Nama great? And he said Rama Nama is great. Why? Because Rama only liberated so n number. There is n, you know, there is a number there whom he liberated in his lifetime. You know, when he was on this earth, you can count. Maybe, you know, so this. Ram Nama, you cannot count how many people have been liberated by just the name Ram Nama. So that's why he says Ram Nama is even greater than Ram. And then Guruji, once when we were doing the course, he asked us the same question. And because we had studied, you know, Tulsi Ramayan, well, Ram Nama is greater. I was saying it to you. He said, yeah, but Ram Nam would have been there without Ram or what? So he says, I say Ram is great. So Guruji had that style. If he would have said Ram, he would have said this. Otherwise, if he said this. So very easy. See, Japa is very easy. Taking the name of the Lord is very easy. Right? And in Kali Yuga, we don't have time for all these other formalities. We don't even know how to do a correct puja, etc., etc. So that's why Guruji has written here. See, if going to satsang also proves too difficult for some, then at least take the name. Now, this is a satsang that you have attended. So now you know this, right? So we attend satsang, we read books, we do everything simultaneously, you know, little of everything. So one mala of whatever mantra, whatever name that you find, if you do it. And Bhagavad Puran, it is said that just by name, you can get liberation in Kali Yuga. And in chapter 10, Bhagwan himself has said that among the japa yajnas, I am Nama Japa. He said that in Bhagavad Gita as well. So if you do Nama Japa of any Lord, okay, not just Krishna or Rama, anyone, that'll give you great merit. It'll be a stepping stone towards liberation. Bhaktash chaturvidha proktaha svayam narayanenahi arto jidnya surarthati artharthi jnani nishkama evasaha. The four kinds of devotees described by Lord Narayana himself are the one in distress, a seeker of knowledge, a desirer of wealth, and the enlightened one who is free from all desires. Guruji has given this verse from chapter 7. We have looked at it in detail. I will explain a little bit. There, Bhagwan says that there are four types of people who devotees who pray to me. One is the Artha devotee. The example of Artha devotee is Draupadi, Gajendra. The story of Gajendra is that Gajendra was an elephant, and one day a crocodile caught him in the river. And he called out, Oh Hari, come and save me. So Bhagwan came on his vehicle, Garuda vehicle, and killed the crocodile and released Gajendra. And there also it is said that crocodile got liberation first, because whoever Bhagwan kills, they get liberated. That's just a shoo-in. Good, bad, everybody, Ravana, Kamsa, everybody got liberation, right? So they said that crocodile, even though Gajendra was the devotee, crocodile got liberation before Gajendra. So that is an Artha Bhakta. Draupadi, when she was being derobed, she called to Krishna and he came. Jidnyasu is Nachiketas in Kathopanishad. He is the example of a Jidnyasu. Jidnyasu means he wants knowledge. Something he wants. But this Jidnyasu is knowledge about the Lord. It's not knowledge about other thing. And Artharthi is one who wants Artha. Artha is wealth. So he wants money. But even God, the Lord calls him a devotee because he is praying to the Lord and is not doing something illegal on the other side. it's okay. He's praying, oh Lord, let me win a lottery. So there was one person who was praying constantly, God, please, please, you know, let me win a lottery. Let me win a lottery. And then the Lord said, but yeah, but you need to help me too. He says, Lord, you need help. He says, yeah, you at least have to go and buy a ticket. You help me by buying a ticket, then maybe I can help you to get the lottery if you don't buy the ticket. That is Artharthi. He wants, so, but even the compassionate Lord considers him as a devotee because he's praying to the Lord. He's not doing something something that he shouldn't be doing. And a Jnani Bhakta is his most favorite because Jnani Bhakta is one who knows his oneness with the Lord. And I told you in chapter 12, it was a description of the Jnani Bhakta. Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam, starting from there till 18, 19 verse, was all Jnani Bhakta. It wasn't Arth Jidnyasu or Artharthi. It was a Jnani, the one who knows his oneness. And the reason Bhagwan says that he is my favorite is because Bhagwan doesn't have to worry about him. Other people, Bhagwan has to work. Na? Arth means he has to run there to save them. Jidnyasu, he has to give knowledge, stand in front of him, give knowledge. And Artharthi, he has to make sure that the guy has buddhi to buy a lottery ticket at least so that then he can win the lottery. So Bhagwan has to do work in the other case. In Jnani, Bhagwan has no work. Bhagwan is not worried at all. So he says that it's like a mother having a mature child that she doesn't have to worry about, you know, but where the other child is not so mature, then the mother worries. So that's what it is. And sorrows, adhyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik, you know, we say the three shantis because of that. Okay. Priyo hinyani no devasa devaha sacha devasya vai priyaha atma rupam harim yadvata pashetadvata jagadyataha. The Lord is dear to the wise and he is dear to the Lord because just as he sees Lord Hari as his own self, he sees the world also as the expression of Lord Hari alone. This is referring to the Jnani Bhakta, because when in Bhagavad Gita also he says that among the four, the Jnani Bhakta is my most favorite. And the question might arise in our mind that means Bhagwan, you're partial. If you like somebody more than somebody else, that is partiality. So this is the reason given here. There it is. I told you it is the maturity of the mind where Bhagwan doesn't have to worry about the Jnani Bhakta. He knows that this Jnani Bhakta is going to go do my work. So actually Bhagwan is relieved. So instead of me going and teaching and this doing all this, my Bhakta will go do that. He will spread my name. That's what Narad Bhagwan's job is, right? He's supposed to just go everywhere and spread this, knowledge of the story of Narad Bhagwan is he's the Manas Putra of Brahmaji, and Brahmaji is given the job of creation of the world. So Brahmaji created 1,000 people first, you know, because now he has to create, no? So he created 1,000. So Naradji quickly ran there, gave them the knowledge of the self, and they all became sannyasis. Brahmaji said, "Are if you know," he says, "okay, no problem. 1,000 gone. I'll make another 1,000. So he made another 1,000 people. Naradji quickly ran over there, gave them the supreme knowledge. They also become sannyasis. Then Brahmaji got worried. Is it every 1,000 batch of 1,000 I make and Naradji goes and makes them sannyasi, how creation will happen? They have to get married. They have to, you know, have children. That's how creation." So he said, he called Naradji. He said, come here. Don't stay here now. You know, I'm giving you the job of going into the various worlds. That's how he got his visa. Here's your visa. You can go anywhere and you spread the knowledge of this devotion, spread the knowledge of Narayan Bhagwan, but please don't stay here because you're an obstacle. So that's why Narad Bhagwan keeps traveling. That is the story behind his travels. So here Bhagwan says, Guruji says that the Lord is dear to the wise and he is dear just because he sees, because it's Jnani Bhakta. So he, their knowledge and bhakti have merged. So he has the knowledge that the self in me is the self in all. So even though it's from a devotion standpoint, he is seeing his Ishta Devata in everybody. That's the sameness he's seeing. Na? He doesn't see anybody as different. This is my friend. This is my enemy. He doesn't see like that. He sees the Ishta. In a person, a realized master through knowledge, he will talk only about the self. He will not talk about form. So he says the self in me is the self in all. But this devotee, he sees the Lord everywhere. And that's why Lord Bhagwan says that he is very dear to me, because he is seeing me everywhere. So he sees the sameness in all. That is the whole thing we need to do, is see the oneness in all. That's what he's saying. Advaitanubhava deva sarvabhuta hiteratah sevate tatra naro yadvata dehanganiha prematah. Just as man serves all the limbs of his body with affection, even so the wise devotee, because of his realization of the non-dual self, ever remains engaged in the welfare of all beings. Bhagavad Gita also used the word sarva bhuta ite rataha. Once he realizes the self, or even a realized master, once he realizes that the self in me is the self in all, then rataha, he revels in sarva bhuta. So all beings, he will only be reveling in their welfare. He will only think of their welfare, of their good. Because one realization is the self in me is the self in all. And the devotee is saying, this is my Ishta Devata everywhere that I see. So he's not going to hurt anybody. He's only going to serve them. Therefore, he says that once you realize the non-dual self, so this is the, you know, that's the keyword there, non-dual self, ever remains, and the actually the realized masters are given a choice. Once you realize, scriptures give you the choice if you want to remain in society and serve them, or you want to go away and stay in seclusion. In the case of a devotee, he never goes into seclusion. Devotee never goes. Why? Because it's form, na? He needs forms. His love is based on the form of the Lord. So that form he needs to see everywhere. So he would never go and sit in a cave somewhere like Raman Maharshi did or Tapon Maharaj did. They were jnanis. So they did that. But a devotee will never do. So he is staying in society and he will only serve the society. He will only do good for the society. He will only talk about the Lord when he's spoken to. And you know, anybody who comes to him, he will only talk about the Lord. We saw that in Sthitapradnya Lakshana, one of the questions was, how does he talk? So it's not whether he talks in Sanskrit or, you know, English or, you know, Hindi or whatever. It is, there are two ways in which we talk. One is we proactively go somewhere. So it means like, it's like me calling somebody. Or then the other way is somebody calling me. So either he goes and talks or people come to him and talk. Now him going and talking is out of the question. He will never talk himself because he has realized his blissful self. So he's happy with himself. He's happy in solitude. So there is no question of him going seeking company. Of course, if he's invited to talk, he will go and he'll talk stories about the Lord. If it's a devotee, he'll talk stories about the Lord. If it's a nanny, he'll talk about the Lord. And when people come to him also, he's not going to gossip, but he's only going to talk about the Lord. Or then he will just sit quiet and listen to whatever that they have to say. So that's why, because he has Advaita Anubhav, he has got the experience of non-duality. He will only work for the welfare. What else is there to do? But scriptures, like I told you, the jnanis, they do that, but devotees would never go and sit in a cave somewhere. Now, the nature of God's dearest devotee, and we have seen this very recently, Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna eva cha bhakto bhagavata preshtaha kratakratyasya eva hi. The first line is from Bhagavad Gita. The second line is Guruji's. The wise devotee hates none and is friendly and compassionate towards all beings. Such a devotee is dearest to God, and indeed he alone has fulfilled the purpose of his life. I told you, hates no one because he only sees his Ishta Devata in everybody. How can he ever hate anybody? For us, you know, we should tone down that hate. Hate word is a very strong word. So we can tone it down to dislike. And from dislike, we can come to neutral. if they say if we don't like somebody, then we should remain neutral to them. We may not, because, you know, we are not at that stage where, you know, we like everybody or whatever. And the other thing to do is always remember that it is not the person that we don't like, but some things that that person does, some qualities we don't like, you know. So instead of saying that I hate the person, we will never use the word hate. I dislike the person. It can be said that I dislike this quality of in that person, because there will be other qualities which will be good. So it's we can tone it down. But of course, the highest devotee, he would never hate anybody. And sarva bhutanam, all beings. So not only humans, animals, animals. I cannot even understand when I see these ads of SPCA on TV where they are abusing the animals, and I don't even understand that, because who even asked you to keep that dog if you're going to beat it up? So I don't understand that psychology. I feel really bad. But anyway, sarva bhutanam. So bhutanam here includes animals and beings and everything. But that doesn't mean that if there's a spider in your house, you don't kill it, please. Because now I've got that also. But no spider, I leave it outside the ashram. That spider next day is coming back with friends. So I told this person, I said, you know what? Think that you're releasing that jiva from that body. And, you know, you'd let tomorrow one rat will come and I'll say, okay, rat, then there'll be rats and I'll be outside the house. So, you know, we should take this sarva bhutanam in the right sense, you know. So the best thing is to know that we are releasing that jiva from that body. And then when you do that, you take the name of the Lord. That's an opportunity. Oh, Bhagwan, give this jiva its release. So at least from that spider, maybe it'll come in a rat and then, you know, progress from there, right? So you can't use this, you know, spider. No, it is a spider. I leave it out. They left outside the ashram, and again, next day, same spider. Hi, how are you? I also want to do satsang. So spider is back in our room. Maitra, friendly. Be friendly, I told you. It doesn't mean that, you know, you can be civil to everybody. You know? Not that you have to tell your secrets to everybody. That's not the idea here. But be nice to everybody. And a devotee, for him, it's very easy. I told you, Mitra, one name of son is Mitra. Like, son is equanimous to good, bad, everything. We also can be. Our reaction can be the same, na? Whether it's a good or a bad person or whatever. Compassion. Compassion must always be shown by way of work, because there's no point saying, oh, I'm compassionate, I feel compassionate. You feel, but, you know, do something about it. So if you can do something about it, then please go ahead and do it. If not, then that's it. That's what it is. And Bhagwan himself has given these qualities in Bhagavad Gita. So he says that this is dear, and indeed he alone has fulfilled the purpose. Because the reason that is being said, fulfill the purpose of life, is because Shastras have given us that purpose. The final Purushartha is moksha. This is what it is. So that's why he says he has fulfilled. If anyone, any devotee becomes Advesha Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha, then that means he has reached that final stage. That means there is no more to be reached. Therefore, Krita Kritya. So whatever he has to do, he has done. Whatever practices had to be followed, he has followed. He has reached the goal, and there is nothing more to be achieved or this or gained. Jayati jayati bhaktihi sarva lokeshu nityam tarati tarati mayam bhakti yukto narohi bhajati bhajati loka idrasham bhaktavaryam japati japati devo bhaktavar varyasya nama. Concluding verse, therefore we have four lines. Devotion is always victorious in all the three worlds. Jayati jayati. A devotee indeed crosses over maya. The world worships such a great devotee, and even the God of gods constantly chants the name of such a devotee. So in the three worlds, heaven, earth and hell, it's love conquers all. So devotion is always victorious. One whose mind in God entire creation is itself. A devotee indeed crosses over maya. The reason Bhagwan in chapter 7 has said, mama maya durataya. It is my maya and it's very difficult to cross over. Gurudev has given us the example of the fisherman, you know, he's standing on the banks of the river and he's put his net, but the fish who are near his feet, they don't get caught in the net. So it's the net of Maya. So if we are holding to the feet of the Lord, which a devotee is doing, he doesn't get caught in the net of Maya. Because Maya is spread, this Maya Jal, it is called, you know, that's why Maya Jal. Jal is a net. So there is this huge net of Maya that is all around us in the form of this world, in our thinking that the world is real, in our thinking that there is happiness in the world. This is all Maya's doing. So, but if we hold on and the devotee holds on to the feet of the Lord, that's why he never gets caught in that Maya. So he easily crosses over. Like the fish who are very close to the feet of the fisherman will never get, because the net is thrown out like that, right? But his feet are not in the net. The fisherman is not, he is thrown the net. So you stay close to the Lord. The world worships such a great devotee. So we have seen Hanumanji. See the beauty of Hanumanji, I'll tell you. You'll see Hanuman temple alone, standing, standalone Hanuman temples are many. Have you ever seen a Rama temple without Hanumanji there? That is the greatness of the devotee. That Hanuman can stay on his own. There are many temples with only Hanumanji, but there is not a single Rama temple without Hanumanji. That is how great the devotee is. So, and the gods, so even Prahlad, I told you in the Prahlad story that even the gods in the heavens, the deities in the heavens, they said, they were asked who is the greatest devotee. They said Prahlad is. That means even they are not as devoted as Prahlad. They themselves admitted. So that's why the devotee is always prayed, because he is totally egoless. See, in devotion, what gets surrendered is the ego. There is complete surrender, which is very difficult in karma and jnana. Very difficult. Because karma, what happens is, you know, even when we do karma yoga, then it's like, I am a great karma yogi and I am doing this. That thing comes. That's why ego is like a snake. So it bites you, you know, it stings. So this is what suddenly comes. I'm doing karma yoga, but other people are not doing anything. I'm doing so much work. That comes. And jnana to, are baba, I know so much. So it's this thing. And that doesn't happen in devotion. That is why even Narad Bhakti Sutra Naraji says devotion is greatest, because it doesn't, because that ego is constantly surrendered to the Lord, constantly surrendered to the Lord. So that ego doesn't, there is no, we have not, at least I have not heard stories where the devotee became great. Mind you, Kag Bhushundi, he was so devoted to Lord Shiva that he forgot his guru. But he was corrected right away. And that's another beauty of devotion, is that suppose if the devotee is falling, the Lord will set him right immediately. So there is a story. Do we have time? There is a story of Narad Bhagwan. What happened was Narad Bhagwan, he went to Vishnu once, and what did he say? I think he also had a little bit of ego that I am the greatest devotee of Narayan Bhagwan. Of course, Bhagwan recognized that right away. That is the beauty in this devotion, relationship of devotion with Bhagwan. Bhagwan immediately recognized, trouble, my devotee is falling. So Bhagwan just smiled. Naraji started walking. Suddenly, you know, there was this, in the galaxy, there was this new world. He thought, I never saw this before, you know, planet before. So I should go in. So he went in, and there was a proclamation that was going on that the princess is going to, there's going to be a Swayamvar. Swayamvar is, you know, she's going to pick her husband. And there was this huge proclamation, and please, you know, whoever wants to marry her should come, and then she will pick her husband, etc. So Naranji says, okay, let me go see who this princess is. And she is so beautiful, he falls in love. He just head over heels, he falls in love. So he says, now I have to compete against all these other, you know, other princess will come, no? Like in the Swayamvar, everybody will come. But he says, I have no problem. I'm a devotee of Bhagwan Vishnu, like Narayan Bhagwan. So I will just go to Narayan Bhagwan and tell him that you have to make me the most beautiful prince there in that assembly. And that princess will then put the Varmala in me. He says, no problem. Goes back to Vishnu. Says, Bhagwan, I have fallen in love. I cannot live without her. That's what we say, na? Just my life is ended if I don't get her. So please make me the most handsome person in that assembly. Bhagavan says, of course, I will do what is best for you, Narad. And Narad thinks what is best for me is to get married to that princess. So Narayan Bhagavan knows. So he's going to make me the most beautiful. Fine. So he goes back. He's totally not worried. And the day comes and he's sitting there. And, you know, all this assembly of people is there and everything. Suddenly he says, you know, Vishnu Bhagavan is walking in there. He said, why is he coming in here? He says, oh, no. He's coming to see that that princess puts this Varmala in my neck. You know, I'm devoted to him, right? So that's why he's come here to see my victory. Fine. So that princess is going with the garland and going. And she comes in front of Narad and she just laughs. And she just moves ahead. And she moves. And she goes and puts that Varmala in Vishnu's neck only. So Narad says, excuse me, what happened here? Why is Vishnu here and why Lakshmi is not there? And he says, and why did she didn't laugh in front of anybody else? She just laughed in front of me. What is going on? So he asks this neighboring prince, you know, the one who's sitting next to him. He says, what do you think? Why did she laugh at me? He says, have you seen your face? He says, what do you mean? He says, yeah, look. Because that time there were no mirrors. So he had a pot of water. He says, look at your window. It's the face of a monkey. Oh, yo, Narad Bhagwan is so furious. He says, you wanted that princess. So you made me look like a monkey and you walked in yourself. And now you got married to this woman. And the pangs of insult and anger and, you know, like the dukkha, right? My God, I loved her so much. And now she's marrying you. He says, Vishnu, I curse you that just like I have, you know, I have felt the pangs of separation from my beloved, you will also feel the same pangs. And Bhagwan says, Tathastu. Because Bhagwan is a servant of his devotees. Whatever the devotee wants, Bhagwan will give. Then Bhagwan tells him, do you even know who this princess is? It is Maya Devi. She is my wife already. And I did all this so that you would know that your ego was getting. And the minute Bhagwan says that, Narad's, you know, his anger, he says, oh my God, I'm so sorry I did this, right? So Bhagwan says, yeah, but I had to take care of your ego right away. And that is the prelude to his being born as Sri Rama and then getting separated from Sitaji. And that's why he was crying, because Narad Bhagwan had cursed him that you will also cry with the pangs of separation. So that is the story of Narad Bhagwan. Any questions? Comments?
Question here.
Yeah.
Whenever our scriptures say, or normal usage, whenever guru is referred, why is the guru referred as a masculine? It's a silly question, but still.
Is guru masculine in Sanskrit grammar?
No, but when after all these scriptures, and even when you say him, the guru, the him, and so I'm just trying to figure out why guru is always a man.
Okay. So to understand that, you should understand the exact subtle meaning of guru. The meaning of guru is nothing but your inspiration to study. So the guru is inside of you. He's not a form. Guru should never be taken as a form. Guru is formless. And guru is your inspiration within to study. That's why we must never consider guru as masculine, feminine. He's beyond both.
The reason I ask is because that was my personal view, and I just wanted to get that clarified, because it's such a beautiful thing to have that feeling inside of someone you feel like is the guru. Finally, you come to that, and I just thought I should get that clarified. Thank you.
Is it clear?
Much better. Thank you.
Never bring in a gender in there. I'm going to read the first verse to indicate that we have not completed our studies, but we'll be studying, and from next time we'll start the discussion. Namaste Ramachandraya Surude Sarva Dehinam Anugrahanishva Nishpattai Sudha Bhakter Himam Prabho. Are we okay with starting the discussion next Monday then? Padmaja? And everybody, so there is people from Vancouver, so all of them can take part now?
Yeah, not everyone has signed up, GIG. I have only 5 people who have accepted so far. Okay. The others have contacted me. So I have only a few people who have signed up. That is verses 5, 15, 17, 20, 22. And that's all that have been taken.
Okay. So at least for next time, we want 1 to 5 at least. So those of you who have not taken and are going to be here next week, you're not going to be here, right? Is the long weekend, Padmaja?
No, I'll be here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was planning to go to Edmonton to take care of my niece, but then she had a baby, but then the pediatrician has asked not to allow anyone from outside to come in.
Oh, COVID.
So I don't have to go. I can be here.
Okay. So so we don't have anybody from 1 to 5, no? Or 1 to 4?
1, 2, 3, 4. Nobody has taken.
1, 2, 3, 4. All right, guys. Chitra, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Jayaj, we don't have Padmaja's email or anything to send this verse I want or something like that. How to contact?
Well, right now we need to do 1 to 4, and then what you can do is you can send it to me, my email. Okay. I will forward it to Abhimanyu. I'll forward it to them. That'll okay. be better. That'll okay, be better. Okay. So,
sorry. Because I didn't want to volunteer because. It will appear as though that
you disappeared from the screen. Where are you? Oh, okay, there. Okay. Yeah, please.